This weekend retreat was given by Father Sean Kilcawley at Our Lady of Good Counsel Retreat House, November 21st to the 23rd, on the topic of the theological virtues and joy of the gospel, a retreat for catechists. These and other recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
Brothers and sisters, it's a great joy to be with you on this retreat. But I'll warn you, this is my first retreat that I've ever given. And I think I need it as badly as most of you. So over the next 40 hours, we've come to spend time with our Lord. And I was reflecting on, you know, why somebody might sign up for a catechist retreat. Because the role of the catechist it's very similar to the role of a priest. And, you know, a priest's primary job is to preach the gospel. And I was thinking about when I went to Rome to study at the John Paul II Institute. And when I got to Rome, I noticed that there was a problem with my spiritual life, because I didn't really know what to pray about. So for the first few years of my priesthood, most of my prayer involved, what am I going to preach on Sunday? And essentially what I was doing was I was going to prayer in order to try to find something that I could then tell to the people. And sometimes even on our priest retreats annually, we come on the retreat and we're hoping the retreat master will give us something that we can take back to our parishes and give to our people. And so we end up coming to the conferences and we listen to them and we're constantly thinking, okay, that I can apply to this person in my classroom or in my parish. That's something I can make a program out of. And instead of listening to our Lord speak to us in our hearts, we end up constantly sifting through the information, trying to figure out how it applies to somebody else. And that can be a big temptation. And when I chose the theme for this retreat, I was really excited about it because I was thinking to myself, I've been wanting to reflect on these encyclicals that Pope Benedict XVI kind of framed his pontificate with. And then I looked at the schedule a couple weeks ago and I realized, oh, it's only 40 hours long. So we're not going to go, it's not going to be a deep theological reflection. But I do want to, in the conferences, reflect on these three theological virtues and also on evangelization. Because it's interesting that Pope Benedict framed them the way that he did. When we learn them as kids and when we teach them in the classroom, we teach faith, hope, and love. But Pope Benedict wrote them love, hope, and faith. And love, hope, and faith is the way that you proclaim them to people who don't know who Jesus is. And one of the points that Pope Francis has made throughout his pontificate so far is that there are a lot of people in the church who don't know who Jesus is. And sometimes we all have to ask ourselves, like, do I know who Jesus is? And so as we reflect on this, as you listen to the gospel, as you do your own spiritual reading, as we pray the rosary, I'd propose to you to try and really encounter our Lord. When you catch yourself thinking about, how can I apply this to my students, stop yourself and say, what is our Lord saying to me here? Who is this person, Jesus, to me? And the other side of that question is, who am I to this person, Jesus? Because this is the mystery of our faith. When Pope Benedict XVI wrote on Deus Caritas Est about love, he says that love is not a choice that we make with our logic. It's an encounter with a person. Which is a little bit counterintuitive, because sometimes when we're teaching our young people, especially our young people, about chastity and relationships and dating, we're like, love is not an emotion, it's a choice. But our Holy Father is very clear when he says it's not a logical choice, it's an encounter with a person. It's about the fact that our Lord has entered into your life in a profound way. And he, as our Holy Father, really opened up his own spiritual life to us. But it's something that we haven't reflected a lot on. When I got to Rome, one of the first years, the first year I was there, we had a big audience and I got to meet Pope Benedict XVI. It was a big moment. And then I was there when he announced his retirement. And I went to St. Peter's Square for his last Wednesday audience, and everybody's talking about him, what will he be remembered for, all of that. And this reporter from the Wall Street Journal interviewed me and said, what do you think Pope Benedict XVI will be remembered for? And a lot of times we think about liturgy, being this great dogmatic theologian. And my response, and I still believe this is true, that ultimately when the history of the church is written, he'll be remembered for unpacking for us what it means to love and to be loved. And so that's what I propose that we reflect on, especially as we're opening up this retreat, to reflect on what it means to love and to be loved. To answer the question, who is Jesus? And to answer the question, who am I to Jesus? What St. John does in the book of Revelation is he has this vision in his prayer, and then he tells everybody what he sees. He has an encounter with our Lord in prayer. Yesterday we heard this story of how he is in prayer and he sees the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then he sees the lamb as if slain in the midst of the four living creatures and the 24 elders. And he's caught up into this ecstasy and this encounter with the lamb and this encounter with our Lord. And then he tells everybody about it in his writing, so much so that he tells us, this is what happened in my prayer. And that's what I hope to do during this weekend as your retreat master, is to share with you what happens in my prayer. And to sort of provide an example that you can put into practice with your own students, to share with them what happens in your prayer. And to open up to them who this person Jesus is to you. And so when we hear the gospel for today and we reflect on what happened, Jesus enters the temple area and proceeded to drive out those who were selling things, saying to them, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And what does that have to do with us? If we put ourselves into that scene, where do we fall? Do we see ourselves as somebody that he's driving out? Do we see Jesus as somebody who's angry? As I was reflecting on this myself, there's an interesting thing. When in the temple area, these people are there selling things. And I think when I was a kid, I thought of that as like the parish bazaar, you know, like we have mass and we go down and people are selling stuff. And, or when you go to a shrine, if any of you have traveled in Europe and you go to the Padre Pio shrine and there's always people selling, take this picture of Padre Pio. You know, Padre Pio himself was known to pull out his rosary and start beating people and driving them out. But in the temple at the time of our Lord, what they were selling was they were selling the sacrifices. So they were still offering animal sacrifices. And so people would come from great distances and they didn't have two turtle doves, or they didn't have a lamb, or they didn't have a goat to offer. And so they would get there and they would have to buy the sacrifice that they would then go into the temple and have the priests offer. And the people who were selling at the temple, they started to jack up the prices for these poor people who came and they didn't have anything to offer. And they would also sell animals that weren't really worthy of being sacrificed. Because God in the Old Testament, it's very clear that you have to sacrifice the best, the firstborn. And sometimes these animals would be blind or lame. And it became all about profit, or it became just sort of this activity that we did, and it was divorced from an encounter with God. And in fact, these people that were selling things in the temple area were becoming an obstacle for those who really wanted to come and encounter our Lord. They were an obstacle to encountering our Lord. And for us, there are many obstacles to encountering our Lord. Sometimes those obstacles are our bad habits. I often share with people, like, my biggest obstacle to encountering our Lord is probably Netflix. So when I get home at the end of the day, like, I could really meditate on Scripture, or I could watch Netflix. And sometimes Netflix wins. There might be an obstacle to encountering our Lord that is an experience in our life from our past that we're holding on to. There might be some grief in our life that we're not letting ourselves feel. There might be some other experience that has gotten in the way of us really trusting our Lord because of one thing happening or another. And so we have these obstacles, and our Lord enters in order to remove those obstacles. And oftentimes we use this scripture passage to show that Jesus can get angry. I can remember, you know, teachers or my parents using that as an excuse whenever they got angry at us. Jesus got angry too. But what our Lord reveals is his zeal for us, like his zeal for the people who wanted to encounter God, his love for people who wanted to encounter God. And so he enters into that space with this zeal to remove every obstacle to encountering him, which means that his love for us is so great that his heart burns with passion for us. And so what does this mean about our Lord, about who our Lord is? It means that our Lord is this passionate, strong lion of Judah who wants to enter into your life to remove anything that would keep you from him. And what does that mean about me? Like, who am I to this person, Jesus? It means that I am so beloved that he wants nothing more than to rush into this space and to remove that from our lives. A lot of times when I work with young people who are struggling with habitual sin, and they'll talk about sort of the first time they got exposed to this habitual sin, or the first time that they committed this sin, or any time we commit sin, where is our Lord when we commit sin? Where is Jesus when I'm watching Netflix? His desire is to enter into that space in order to sweep me up into his arms, in order to reassure me that he is my refuge, in order to reassure me that I am precious in his sight. And sometimes we forget to reflect on this. And we can start to think of all the different people that we have to help in the world. All the different people that we have to teach. We have to make sure the kids know the 92 questions. But we forget to just sit and realize who our Lord is in our lives and who we are in his. And so as we proceed through this weekend, remember to keep those questions in your mind. Who is Jesus? And who am I to him? And when you find yourself tempted to sort of stray into everybody else's problems, everybody else's needs, remember what you came here for. That you came here to find our Lord. And you came here to take refuge in him and to rest in him, to allow yourself to be filled with him. And in these 40 hours, we pray for the grace that our Lord will touch our hearts in a very profound way, in a very unique way for each one of us. And that he'll touch our hearts in a way that we can then pass on to others, so that they too may know how beloved they are in the sight of our Lord Jesus Christ.